From the Rio Grande to the Sabine and the Canadian to the San Antonio. If it's in Texas, it's on Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your Texan-in-Chief, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas. It is, my friends, as always, a great day to be a Texan. Glad you're with us. Be sure to remember, Pratt on Texas is now a podcast. You begged for it for years. It's there. Just go to prattontexas.com and commute at a different time. Want to hear the show during the morning commute or later in the day? You can just download a copy right there to your little smart device and do that all from prattontexas.com. It's called Time Shifting. You can listen to me at a different time. Works great. Coming up, my friends, it's almost all legislature. I've got a lot of other stuff that needs covering, but the legislature takes precedence. We're in the last week of the 87th regular session of the Texas legislature. And our Lone Star story of the day, constitutional carry or permitless carry of handguns, you're already legal to carry a long gun, passes the legislature. I'll explain the fundamental error in logic or non-thinking of those who express fear over such, and that may include some of you, so be listening. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, where they provide the best in service in DOT, that's Department of Transportation for those of you in Matador, business and personal drug and alcohol testing since 1995, AlliedCompliance.com. Also, my friends, defunding police, pro-life, nursing home visitation, boys playing girls sports in UIL, national motto in Texas schools, and giving the legislature a say in distributing that pot of federal COVID relief money, all in the legislative update today. We've got other news of Texas as time allows, so let's just dive in. Oh, first though, today in Texas history in 1690, that's a long time ago, the first of the East Texas missions, San Francisco de los Tejas, was founded. So that name, Tejas, Texas, goes way back. That's 1690, ladies and gentlemen. All right, now, let's jump into the Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, AlliedCompliance.com. I chose, out of all the stories out there today, the Reuters story, that's right, the big European news agency, because it was Dateline at Lubbock and written by Brad Brooks. I don't know Brad, but he must be writing out of Lubbock for Reuters. The headline, Texans can carry concealed handguns without permit under bill headed to governor. Yoo-hoo, woo-hoo, yahoo, whatever you want to say. We finally got our constitutional rights more clear and back in the state of Texas. But this piece was Dateline Lubbock. By Reuters, there by Brad Brooks, and it says when the bill would let Texans carry concealed handguns without any permit passed the legislature yesterday and heads to the desk of the governor, who's promised to sign it. When Governor Abbott signs the measure, Texas will become the 21st of these 50 states and the most populous to have some form of permitless concealed carry, according to the National Rifle Association. The bill protects the right of law-abiding Texans to carry a handgun as they exercise their God-given right to self-defense and the defense of their families, said Representative Schaefer, who authored this bill. Good friend of the show, used to live in Lubbock years ago, worked for Senator Graham here, came to my Young Republicans meetings, a great friend of ours and of conservatives. He's now out of Tyler. Senator Ted Cruz wrote, "This is excellent news for law-abiding, Second Amendment-loving Texans." The bill includes some compromises that address concerns of law enforcement community, including, and this isn't really good, getting rid of language that would have prevented a police officer from questioning a suspect based solely on the fact they were carrying a firearm. But I think I've gotten more coverage of this, and I think somebody's right. I think eventually that's going to get cleared by the courts, because you can't, if something's legal, that's not probable cause for law enforcement to do anything. So somebody's going to sue and they're going to win. May take a decade or more. So there you go. Permitless carries headed to the governor for signature. There's a big piece by Nicole Cobbler in the Austin American-Statesman, headlined, Legislature Gives Final Approval to Bill Allowing Texans to Carry Handguns Without a Permit. House Bill 1927, it reads, would allow anyone over the age of 21 who could legally possess a firearm in Texas to carry a handgun in public without a permit. Which, by the way, you're already able to do that in your vehicle and to and from your vehicle, to any building under your control or anything like that, and you can carry long guns, you've always been able to. Republicans argued the measure, which they often call constitutional carry, appropriately expanded gun rights under the Second Amendment. No, Nicole, that we didn't, We're not arguing. We're saying it restores the right that the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution already gives, where it says keep and bear arms. You know, bear doesn't mean Yogi Bear in the forest. That means to have it upon your person. Democrats and gun safety advocates criticized the measure, which they said would increase gun violence in Texas and make it easier for criminals to obtain a gun. Not sure how that last part works, but the data doesn't support them over the last 50 to 70 years where we have very good data, scholarly data. More guns in the hands of the law-abiding people have actually reduced crime considerably in this country. Representative Schaefer said, ultimately, we came out with a bill that is strong and no doubt is the strongest restoration of Second Amendment rights. That's right, a restoration of Second Amendment rights that any of us have ever seen in the history of the state of Texas, said Matt Schaefer. Way to go, Matt. Senator Charles Schwertner from Georgetown, who carried the bill in the Senate, said the bill remained strong while addressing the concern of law enforcement officials. This bill, to me, again, is a simple restoration of Texans' constitutional rights under the Second Amendment. Schaefer expressed disappointment that the final bill did not leave in a House amendment by Democrat Harold Dutton of Houston, which would have prohibited law enforcement officials from stopping a person legally carrying a handgun without a cause. Now, why is Dutton for that? Because he knows. Statistically, we know that cops are going to pick on black people and other minorities more often. I'm not into all this cops are against minority stuff. But I will agree why I can understand why Harold Dutton has that perception, and I think it was a good amendment. Quote, this chamber unanimously supported that amendment, and we did fight for that amendment in conference. We were unable to keep it on there. I do believe that in time, this is Schaefer speaking, case law will come on our direction on that, and this is something that we need to look at. Yeah, I think he's right too. The conference committee report created by 5 senators and 5 reps left in place another House priority that would allow those previously convicted of unlawfully carrying a handgun in a public place to have that conviction expunged from their record. Another House, that's right, because the Second Amendment always guaranteed your right to bear arms. Another House amendment left in the bill would add limited affirmative defense for those who just make an honest mistake in bringing their handguns to certain prohibited places, said Schaefer. Much of the Senate's changes were left in the final version, including a provision that requires DPS to create a free online gun safety course, and business owners can prohibit guns by posting a sign under the bill on their private property, their business. A license to carry still will be available to Texans who want to carry guns. That's right, because you need that for reciprocity in other states. I can't imagine a worse slap in the face to all those people who have advocated, to the victims, to the families of victims, said Representative Chris Turner, Grand Prairie leftist Democrat, chair of the House Democratic Caucus. He's all mad. Representative Joe Moody of El Paso called conversations after El Paso shooting where Abbott and Republicans vowed to find common ground with Democrats on gun safety measures. I heard a lot of promises. I haven't heard them since. After back-to-back mass shootings in El Paso and Midland, Odessa in 2019, Abbott and Patrick expressed openness to a law that would expand background checks in private firearm sales, which, of course, has nothing to do with permitless carry, but anyway, following recommendations from politicians, community leaders, law enforcement, feds, business leaders, activists, and mass shooting survivors, it's gun control people, Abbott released an action plan that backed voluntary background checks and suggested the ledge consider ways to make those checks easy and affordable. Since then, Abbott and Patrick have been silent on the issue of background checks. I'll tell you why. Because the righteous indignation of liberty-loving constitutionalist Texans rose up against them, and they realized they had stepped in it terribly bad. You don't give an inch to these people because they're going to take 10 miles. And that's a fact. Now, I know there are reasonable people who think, oh my gosh, this is terrible. I'm going to explain the fallacy of that non-logic in a moment.
The news and commentary of Texas continues after this.
Pratt on Texas Listener Club member Tom from Wichita Falls wrote, I just returned from Costa Rica. I went there on your suggestion and cannot agree with you more. This was the best dental experience ever. I had a good bit of work done and Dr. Zuniga was able to get it all done in one day. The amount of care and attention was unbelievable. From the work itself and the follow-up to make sure everything was great before I went home made this a great experience. While root canals and crowns are not fun, this was the way to do it, Tom says. Thank you for recommending Dr. Zuniga in Costa Rica. I certainly will be referring friends and family. Friends, you can learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and Dental Care, my dentist, by the way, by clicking the banner at PrattonTexas.com. Go to PrattonTexas.com. You'll see the banner with Dr. Zuniga's beautiful picture. Click on it, and you can read all about it. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
Now a man once declared a registered dead conservative by Rush Limbaugh. Here's your host, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. I want to talk about this constitutional carry or permitless carry for a moment. But real quickly, there was another important bill that was passed, and that is Representative Holland's bill, HB 2622, creating a sanctuary state for the Second Amendment, folks. It says no state resources can be used to enforce federal firearms laws that are not also state laws, and gives recourse if a state agency or political subdivision of this state ignores the law. So that was a good one. Also, bill requiring hotels to allow guests to store guns in rooms passes the legislature. This was important. This is a new place where the left has found these corporations to use to try to disarm us. Because when you're renting a hotel room at your domicile, you have a right to have a gun there. But what they've done is they've tried to make it illegal for you to carry the firearm, you know, through the hotel to the place. This is what we dealt with last session on apartments and condominiums. Anyway, Senate Bill 20 forbids hotels from prohibiting firearms. They have the hotels keep the power to require concealment of weapons, but they would have to let customers carry and store their weapons in their rooms, which, of course, the gun safety people ought to be for this, because we know exactly what happens when these teams hit motel and hotel parking lots and rob cars. They tend to get lots of them. Why do you force people to leave your firearm in the car so that the criminals can actually get their hands on it? So this was a good bill. Two other really good things that have passed the legislature. Now, back to the people that, oh my gosh, well, first of all, if you're one of those people afraid of guns, realize that for the last decade and a half or so, they've been demonizing AR-15s. That's not a handgun. That's simply a style. It's like the color and model of a car. It's not the car. It's a style of a long gun. It is legal and has always been legal in Texas to carry your long guns around in public every day. So, you know, you're a little off there if you think, oh my goodness, all of a sudden people are going to be able to carry them. The handguns around concealed without a license, they're just going to start shooting people. And that, it seems to be there are people who have this reflexive fear, like the same crap we heard all this when we extended, when we first passed concealed carry. Then we passed it to be college campuses. You had all these people saying, oh, they're just going to start shooting each other. Of course, that doesn't happen because those are the law-abiding people. Here's the point. Do laws against, let me back up what I said, knee-jerk. What I've found over the years in working on this subject is that many, many people have an immediate reaction, an emotionally based reaction, but clearly have never even thought more than 30 seconds about what they're actually saying or believing when they do so. Here's the point. Do laws against carrying a handgun without a license prevent those who commit crimes with a handgun from carrying such? Well, obviously not, because they commit robberies and murders and assault and all kinds of things with firearms in their possessions, including handguns, all the time, right? I mean, how do you deny that point? So laws against carrying a handgun without a license obviously do not prevent gun crime. Given that that answer is an obvious no, that it doesn't, those laws don't prevent criminals from having a gun, then why should we not allow the law-abiding, who are frequently the surprise victims of the criminals, why should we not allow the law-abiding the ability to be armed legally and simply? Only the risible idea, you know, maybe in Lockney they don't know what risible means. I mean, it's just laughable to the point of absurdity. Scornful. The risible idea that the possession of a gun turns otherwise law-abiding people into murderous criminals justifies the concept that it's bad to have more honest folk with guns in a world where criminals have them. Let me say that again. Only the laughable, the risible idea that the possession of a gun turns, just having a gun on one's person turns one, a law-abiding person, into a murderous criminal. Only that idea, that's the only idea that justifies the concept that it's bad to have more honest people with guns in a world where criminals have them. You got to think about this stuff, ladies and gentlemen. And yet so much out of the anti-gun crowd does rest on that premise. And I read people's quotes, I listen to them, I see them in these YouTube videos, and it's very clear that without ever giving it a second thought, they are vociferously advocating the idea that merely having a firearm somehow makes a person who's otherwise law-abiding and turns them into a murderous criminal. Well, that's just crazy. I mean, that's literal, that's crazy. It's insanity to believe that. And it conflicts with the data that more people, more law-abiding people with guns reduces crime because they can fight back. And it's a big disincentive to folks who want to do harm to you. So we applaud the legislature for getting a constitutional carry through. We applaud Texans, the National Rifle Association, its folks, its lobbyists, been in Austin for decades, and the Texas State Rifle Association, which I'm a life member of both, applaud them for all their hard work on this. And, you know, I even give a pat on the back to some of these Johnny-come-lately groups that have finally gotten involved at the legislature that are gun rights organizations. They hadn't been around long, and they don't have a very good track record at getting legislation passed, but they worked hard on this too, and they deserve credit. And so, way to go. We've got that done in the great state of Texas. And that's a wonderful thing. But remember, you still want the license if you want to travel at all, because you'll end up in the clink just going across the border somewhere if you're not careful. And remember, some other states that allow carrying, I think it applies to their own citizens. So you still better be careful about that. I'll keep my license. Thank you. Lone Star Story of the Day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing the best service in DOT business and personal drug and alcohol testing, AlliedCompliance.com. There's good breaking news this afternoon out of the legislature, and that is that a trigger provision has been inserted now that requires Governor Abbott to consult lawmakers on COVID relief spending. This still doesn't get rid of his reelect slush fund of billions of dollars, but it at least tries to make his commitment to let them have a little bit of he still has full control over it because they didn't pass the budget with Representative Jeanne Morrison's trigger in there that let the legislature have the say in where this $19 billion gets spent. So, you know, he's been handed an effective political slush fund. A lot of people were mad about that, none more than me. Robert Garrett in the Democrat Morning Snooze reporting that Abbott's pledge last week to summon lawmakers back into session before state agencies could spend a penny of the COVID relief money is actually backed up by a guarantee in the two-year budget nearing final passage. Speaker's office released the details yesterday. House and Senate negotiators approved a provision buried in page 841 of the 900-page budget that would deem about $16 billion of that money it's allocated for Texas to not have been appropriated by lawmakers this session. The language amounts to a trigger. In other words, it deems it not appropriated money. So that's a trigger forcing the governor to do what he said he'd do, which is add dispersal of the $16 billion to the agenda. Excuse me, it's not $19 billion, $16 billion. Add $16 billion to the agenda of an expected fall special session on redistricting. This is basically the Morrison Amendment in different language, said liberal Austin State Rep. Donna Howard. Authored by Victoria Rep. Jeanne Morrison, that amendment would have barred any of the piles of federal pandemic relief and stimulus money flowing from Washington being spent unless the legislature in regular or special session is approved, which is appropriate. The language substituted in this deal for Morrison's amendments crafted more narrowly to hold up spending of the $15.8 billion of state fiscal recovery money allocated to Texas until lawmakers come back into session, but not delay flow of $10.5 billion of local fiscal recovery money. At least they ended up with some provision on this to limit the governor from using it all for his political priorities, but it's still kind of that way. Back in a moment with more from the legislature on Pratt on Texas.
He's only silent during the breaks. Pratt's back after this.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
It's the real talk of Texas with the authentic accent thrown in free. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. We're in the last week of the legislative session. The Texans, Hayden Sparks and Brad Johnson, penned a pretty good piece kind of setting us where we are at the time I'm speaking. Some deadlines you need to know about. Tonight, Tuesday, at midnight marks the deadline by which the House can no longer consider any additional Senate bills or Senate joint resolutions for the first time. Tomorrow, the 26th, at midnight marks the deadline by which the Senate can no longer consider any bills or joint resolutions for the first time, meaning if it hadn't already been heard and had one vote, it can't get in the House after tonight and after midnight, and then it can't get through in the Senate until after tomorrow. So that'll be when we know certain bills are completely dead. They write, as the end of the 87th legislature approaches, the Texas House is set to consider a number of proposals today, including the bill to require public school athletes to compete based on their biological sex and the proposal to require sexual harassment training in order to register as a lobbyist. Notable pieces of legislation that originated in the Senate may be headed for the dustbin unless the House passes them by the end of the day, which is, of course, as I said, the last day for them to act on Senate bills that haven't yet been passed. The House is set to consider Senate Bill 2233, which would require sex harassment training for individuals who are seeking lobbyist registration. And SB, that was the Colcourse bill. It passed the Senate already unanimously. That was a big reaction to this charge that this lobbyist drugged and sexually assaulted a Capitol staffer. And turns out all that was untrue. It was a setup. No crime was committed. Even the Travis County DA's office, part of that, said, nope, nothing happened there. The complaints had no basis, but still, we got it knee-jerk. The House will also take up Senate Bill 29, a controversial proposal, they say, to require public school. It's not controversial to me, but it requires public school athletes to participate in sports with their own biological gender. It's not gender. That's a function of grammar. It's sex, and there's only two, male and female. That's the DNA, period. Another bill hanging on the edge is Senate Bill 1336, the bill to place limits on the state's spending. The state has, before added federal funding, adopted a budget that falls under the population times inflation line, a metric that conservatives have insisted on, Republicans, for years. This would marry the legislature to that metric for future budgets, except in the case of a 3/5 majority vote. We'd like to get that done. Other items on the agenda include SB 2050, a bill to require school districts to adopt policies to combat cyberbullying, SB 2026, which would direct public school educators to provide teaching that's conducive to informed American patriotism. Legislation requires school districts to incorporate our founding documents in the curriculum. Five of Lieutenant Governor Patrick's legislative priorities, including a bill to protect personal data from dissemination by state agencies, a charter schools bill, and a proposal that concerns the state online learning system, have not advanced far enough to even be considered in the House and will be officially dead at midnight. The other two foreclosed priorities are the redistricting bill, which was stymied due to delays from the feds on the census, and an appellate court reorganization bill. And that one probably needed to be dead. And then we got this from the liberal Texas Signal. Texas anti-trans. It's amazing how they refer to people. They're also anti-trans sports bill will be debated on House floor. It's not anti-trans anything. There are no such thing. It's trans anything. You cannot become a male. You can become more masculine. You can change how you look and you can change the fabric you put on your body. But if you're a girl, you can't become a male. And if you're a male, you can't become a female. It's that simple. There is no transitioning. It's simply a matter of manners and how one behaves. Masculine and feminine. There are very feminine men. There are very masculine men. There are masculine women and feminine women. Always have been. And they say SB 29 would essentially ban transgender students from participating in sports league consistent with their identity. You get that? Consistent with their identity. I'm sorry. We don't all just get to decide what we are. We are what we are. This is the world as it is, you leftists. Period. Men have DNA that makes them stronger in general. Stronger than women. We don't need the boys going over and playing the women's sports, which they have been doing all over the country, and winning medals and knocking the top female athletes out. It's just wrong no matter how you look at it. Identity. So somebody identifies. I wish I'd been around then because I didn't want to use the student bathrooms when I was a kid in school. So I would always use the faculty one. Once in a while, they'd catch me and they'd get mad at me, and I should have just been able to say, well, excuse me, I identify as a faculty. I identify as faculty, period. In fact, I would have told them, I identify as a non-public school student, thus I'm going to leave and go where the hell I want to instead of sitting in this prison all day. Bill streamlining removal of racist deed restrictions in Texas, named for Dallas State Senator Royce West. Garrett in the Morning News telling us that this bill makes it much easier to remove the old language from real estate deeds, and they named it the Royce West Act in a last-minute amendment approved by the House yesterday. He's the author, West is, of Senate Bill 30. House approved it unanimously. Would dispense with an arduous, time-consuming, and expensive process that current laws require for removing deed language that bars sale or lease of property on account of race, color, religion, or national origin. It's in a lot of old deeds. You know, Democrats ran the state for 100 years. They invented all this segregation. They were the ones that put it there. Democrats, the Democratic Party. Instead of having to go to court to change each deed, the bill would allow a resident or property owner association to circulate forms with language prescribed in the bill. And after each homeowner signs the affidavit, the forms could be turned over to county clerks, who then would erase the discriminatory provisions. The details on that are going to be interesting. Can you imagine the news story when, you know, everybody in an area, I don't know if everybody has to sign it in a particular platted area that contain the deed. What happens when somebody says, I'm not signing that because I am an old bigot? Like one time when one of the big Democrats in town, when I was helping run a new sheriff's campaign, and he was a Hispanic, he was the big Democrat in Lubbock, was telling everybody, we don't need a bleep. Well, it's that misuse of a nationality, Mexican, but mispronounced. We don't need that as a sheriff. Yeah, look, don't kid yourself. These Democrats, there's as many bigots in that Democrat. Well, the old Democrats were the party of bigotry, officially. Systematic bigotry. What do you get one of these guys that doesn't want to sign it? Does that hold everybody's stuff up? That'll be interesting. It'll make for some amazing news stories. I don't know the details, though. So just reading it that way, it kind of appeared everybody had to sign up. Texas Senate backs trigger bill to limit or ban abortions if the Supreme Court allows. This is great. Statesman reporting, Chuck Lindell. Senate gave initial approval Monday, so it's not final, to what they call a trigger bill that would let Texas ban or limit abortion to the extent allowed by future rulings of the U.S. Supreme Court. It's House Bill 1280. One Democrat went along with them, so it was all Republicans and one Democrat. And you got to have a final vote. Senate vote came a week after the Supreme Court announced it will weigh the constitutionality of a 2018 Mississippi law that bans abortion after the 15th week of pregnancy. The court said it will examine whether, quote, all pre-viability prohibitions on elective abortions are unconstitutional, end quote. Both sides see this as a case to make big gains. This would take effect 30 days after any Supreme Court ruling limits the right to abortion. And in other words, it would clamp the state's laws down to meet that standard. And they point out here what I've told you before. Texas has never repealed its pre-1973 laws that prohibit abortion unless a woman's life's in danger. So that's a good bill, the trigger bill. I like that. House, Senate advance bills penalizing defund police efforts in Texas. Well, I'll tell you about that coming up in the next segment. There was a bill that passed, the In God We Trust bill, under Senate Bill 797 by Brian Hughes. Any school has a poster. Well, it's got rules on it for what can be in it, but the national motto, if somebody donates it, they have to put it in a conspicuous place in the building of the school, which is good. We'll get back to more from the legislature in a moment. Stay with us.
Patience is a virtue. Brad on Texas continues after this.
It's hard to explain why my greatest customer service experience wasn't at a luxury resort or private club, but was going to the dentist in Costa Rica, Dr. Silvia Zuniga of Dental Care. There are big Costa Rica practices which, while saving you big money, work just like they do here, herding patients through as fast as possible to increase billings. That's not how Dr. Silvia Zuniga works. Silvia's practice is purposely small and personal with the highest level of service and quality I've experienced for anything. My entire trip cost us less than half my lowest quote at home, including hotel for a week, restaurants, airfare for both of us, and local transport, and much more dental work than those local quotes covered. I had it all done. No wonder my Lubbock neighbor had been using her for his dental work for years, and now you can visit Texas Tech's new Costa Rica campus nearby. If you want top dental work at affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
Here's a man who thinks it's wrong not to fly your Texas flag as high as the stars and stripes. It's the Lone Star's Voice of Liberty, Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. House Democrats sink another Austin-targeted bill on a parliamentary maneuver. Statesman reporting that Don Buckingham's bill that would have given customers to the electric utility there, Austin Energy, the municipal utility, 5 years to appeal rates to the PUC. This is because there's been a lot of abuse of people and customers by Austin Energy in the city of Austin. But the Austin-based Democrats derailed it. It's an interesting story to run in the Statesman because I don't think that Vicki Goodwin of Austin, the state rep, I don't think most people there would agree with this. So, you know, she says, "Oh, it's so terrible," because she just she thinks it's terrible because it would allow for costly rate reviews and all kinds of stuff in Austin. I think most people would, in Austin, probably even the liberal Democrats would like the ability to fight Austin Energy a little more. And they have points of order sunk two other bills by Buckingham that are targeted at Austin in the session. House Senate advance bills penalizing defund police efforts in Texas. Chuck Lindell writing at the Statesman. Senate did vote 22-4 yesterday, approving a bill that imposes harsh penalties, they call it, on cities with at least a quarter million residents that reduce police budgets from the prior year. Under the bill, House Bill 1900, cities that defund the police would lose the power to annex and would be required to hold elections, allowing residents of areas annexed in the previous 30 years to leave the city. Woohoo! Those cities would also be unable to increase property taxes or rates for city-owned utilities, and they would lose sales tax revenue equal to the amount cut from police budgets and have to turn that money over to the DPS. Senator Huffman of Houston said the bill's designed to tell municipalities to not defund the police, and if they do, there are going to be serious consequences. The Democrats are calling it a political show. I believe in a large degree that's right. That doesn't make it wrong. The Democrats engage in political shows themselves on tons of legislation. Senator Nathan Johnson, a liberal Democrat of Dallas, asked why the bill would only apply to cities with more than a quarter million people, adding the cutoff seemed arbitrary, which he says that makes it more like a political show instead of anything serious, except, of course, if you know anything about the legislature, tons and tons and tons of bills always have these rules. You know, counties of only so many people, they all do this all the time. Huffman replied, the bill seeks to catch some of those cities where the problem's most likely to occur. The quarter million number was chosen because we're trying to get into the higher populated urban cities where we see higher crime rates and we tend to see more of the movement or talk about perhaps defunding the police, Senator Huffman said. Senate added three relatively minor amendments to clarify the effect of HB 1900 on cities, and the House author said the changes would not impede the bill's progress, so it's got to go back over there. Monday, the House gave initial approval to Senate Bill 23, filed by Huffman. After defeating five amendments the Democrats tried to put on it, which one of them was to make it apply to everybody and not just the big places, bill would require affected counties to get voter approval before adopting a budget that cuts spending on law enforcement reduces the number of officers or cuts money to recruit or train officers from the previous years, and adds some other stuff in it. So final vote expected today. And then, so on that one, that's, then you got to go back and then reconcile with the other in the Senate and get it all worked out. And time is ticking by fast on that. This is a good one. New law aims to ensure family members in nursing homes won't be separated in future pandemics. There are tons of people just died out of loneliness and depression when they had everybody locked up and couldn't be visited. Kim Roberts at the Texan has a really good piece on this. It passed without opposition, Senate Bill 25 from Colcourse, sponsored by James Frank, Representative Frank of Wichita Falls in the House, and they got it out with passage and a signature from the governor. The right to visit will be protected by law. It will it requires that long-term care facilities allow one designated essential caregiver to be allowed to visit at all times. And there's even a companion Senate joint resolution that would make it a right under the state constitution we get to vote on. So that's some of the update. I've got a little bit more in here, but it's not stuff you just have to know about today. I want to give me a little bit of time to get some of the other headlines out there as we breeze through the Texas Hour. Quite interestingly, Tucker Carlson, very popular on Fox News, called Abbott a total fraud during an interview with the mayor of Uvalde. No kidding. Over the weekend, Mayor Uvalde, which of course isn't on the border but near there, appeared on Tucker Carlson Today to give a close-up analysis. Mayor McLaughlin says that the governor's office doesn't call him back and the senators don't call him back and all this. He's mad about that. Carlson then threw his own criticism into Abbott, and I found that interesting. Governor Abbott strikes me as a total fraud, said Carlson, challenging McLaughlin to prove him otherwise. He could just say, this is our state, it's the state of Texas, and we're not going to put up with this crap. We're going to seal our border because it's our state, but he's refusing to do that. McLaughlin, the mayor of Uvalde, agreed, citing how a bill to finish the border wall was killed in a Texas in a legislative committee despite massive public support. He added that eventually a politician should ask himself, am I going to do what's right for the American people or am I going to do what's right to get elected? Well, that was pretty harsh. I find it interesting, Tucker Carlson taking that tack, because this is a big issue with the governor's serious challenger, former state senator Don Huffines of Dallas, and we did a full interview. You can go to the podcast and listen to that interview with Don Huffines. Did that last week, had a little bit of it on the show, I think, on Friday. Go listen to the entire interview, because this is the entire point Huffines is making. We control the state of Texas. We're a sovereign state. We can take this over, and if we really cared about Texas and Texans, we would just do something about it instead of doublespeak. Now, where in the world Tucker Carlson got on this, and why he's inserted himself that way on it with that specific criticism of Abbott, because, you know, Abbott, pretty much everything he does is what's going to get him on Fox News to help in the presidential primary process. Anyway, I don't want to go all through it. I just find that extraordinarily interesting to see that that was lobbed into the interview by Carlson on that interview over the weekend with the Uvalde mayor. Switching gears, the DPS has announced they've added Margaret Lorraine Smith to the Texas 10 Most Wanted Fugitives. She's 62 years old. She's been wanted since 2009 for fleeing during her capital murder case. Pretty big award if you know, get in touch with them, find her. She's charged with hiring a man to kill her husband, George Smith, on August 6, 2007. An investigation determined that she lured him to Surfside Beach late at night and left him sitting in the sand as the man she hired to beat George to death with a metal object, or just left him there for that guy to beat him. Smith and the man she hired were indicted for capital murder in 2007. Her co-defendant was convicted. She's been on the run when she fled the Brazoria County area while on bond prior to the start of her trial. Last time they've seen her was on video at a Walmart in San Antonio. They're looking for her. She's 5'6", weighs about 185 pounds, has a mole on the bottom of her right eyelid, dyes her naturally dark curly hair often, or wears wigs. She's been hiding out for a long time, went by Margaret or Lorraine. Name was Margaret Lorraine Smith. And there's some Central Texas men hailed as heroes after rescuing two kids from a flooded creek. KWTX had the story how Chase Barron and Travis Harrelson grabbed two life jackets in a canoe. They were contractors. working nearby, and they hadn't seen the kids for a little bit. They jumped in, they got it, did it right, and they saved these kids. It's a great story, KWTX, if you go look at it. Behrend is a Texas Tech Wakeboarding Club member, and Harrelson just graduated from Texas Tech. Congratulations. By the way, I think I saw that at KWTX, but then on a Lubbock Press Review, I noticed that KCBD and Lubbock picked up that story. So I know you can go to kcbd.com and look at it, too. Great work, folks. Now, this is a big deadline night in the House, and tomorrow we'll be in the Senate. Last week of the legislature, we'll keep you up to date on tomorrow's show. Constitutional carry passed. Yahoo! Long live liberty. Long live Texas. And may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.